You're going to hear a lot of people's stories today, and I know that everyone in here has their own story, and what I really don't want is for anybody to be sitting there thinking, well, why didn't they ask me to, you know, share whatever? It's not even anything like that. It's not like they're special people. I know that God has... it's just that happened to be whoever got in the queue, you know, or that the Holy Spirit pointed out. But at lunchtime, we want to encourage you to share with each other because there's so much healing that comes just from being able to share. And the other thing is, as you hear, I want you to listen, not for the, like, the specifics, because that... there's patterns that we all have that are of God, but a lot of times it's the specifics that mess us up because we go, oh, that worked for so-and-so, and then you go try to do that, and it just, you know, messes you all up. The Lord reminded me this morning of this little story about Epaminondas. It's an old folk tale. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it, but everything good that was given to him, he managed to kill it because he'd always take the last season's instructions and try to apply it to the new thing. For instance, it's a story, he stops at his aunt's house and she gives him cake and to take to his mother. And by the time he gets home, he's so smushed it in his hands that it's nothing. So his mom tells him, okay, well, the next time you stop, this is how you should, you know, bring the cake home. You're going to wrap it up, ask for paper, wrap it up in paper, carry it in your hat, and it won't get squished. Well, of course, next day he goes to the aunt's house, and she gives him butter. So he tries to do that, and by the time he gets home, you know, the butter's melted and dripping in his eyes and all that. So his mother scolds him and tells him, well, you know, you should have gone and found some nice leaves and stopped at the river and cooled it and not tried to bring it to me until it was, you know, solid. Well, so the next day he goes to the aunt's house and you know what she gives him? A puppy. And so you can imagine what happened to the puppy. So the story just goes on and on. So hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you.
That's very good, very good, very, very good. Okay, so I want to introduce Larry and Melanie Bingman. They're going to be our first couple to share. And then following right after, you get Dana and Jean Clark. And we've had the privilege for the last 6 to 8 weeks praying all together. And so I've just heard hearts, and we've started to sense the Holy Spirit. So I'm anticipating, like what Cambie said, there's going to be unlocking moments. So we'll go ahead and begin with Larry and Melanie Bingman. Come on up, guys.
Thank you very much. When Jesus brought Larry and I together, the way that we fell in love with each other was very different. I fell in love with Larry immediately. I've shared that before. The first time Larry kissed me, the Lord poured a lifetime of love in my heart for him, and I was immediately in love. And the Lord revealed to me, this is the man that I have for you. And I was sold. I was like, Lord, he had been telling me that he had a man for me, and he said, this is Larry, it's him. I was there. Yeah, woohoo.
Whoa.
But yeah, whoa, right? Oh my goodness. But the way that Larry fell in love with me was very different. It took him some time. It was a little bit more of a journey. And he was shocked by how quickly I was ready. And within a couple of weeks of us coming together, the Lord started to show me our wedding. And he showed me us getting married. And I told this to Larry. I thought, oh, I'm going to share that with Larry. So I tell Larry, Larry, the Lord showed me a vision of us getting married, and I'm so excited. Larry's like, whoa, dude. What?
You talking to me?
Yeah, pretty much. It was, he was just slower in coming along. So I had to be very patient. And I had to be very forgiving because of my heart. I'm like, but Larry, Lord's showing me all this great stuff. Why isn't he, you know, what's going on in your heart? And I had to be really forgiving and patient with him and let the Lord work in his heart in his way. And this was very frustrating for me. So I just had to continually be patient. And the enemy is always right there. What's the matter with him? If he was going to fall in love with you, he would have already by now. Look at how slow he's being. What's going on here? This really isn't what you think it is. That's what the enemy says. So this is going on. And after dating for about a month, Larry takes a trip to Thailand, and he's gone for 60 days. He's going to be gone for 60 days. We'd only been together for a month. And all the while, the Lord's showing me all these great things, and Larry's kind of like taking his time. So about halfway into the trip, I start hearing these voices. And the voices are telling me, well, Larry's not going to really love you. He's not going to make you a priority. Look at how busy he is with the ministry. If you stay with him, you're going to be second priority, and you're not going to be loved. So there you have it. So I start hearing these voices, and I start feeling this in my heart, and I start believing it. And this ran really deep with me, because in my first marriage, I was married twice before the Lord brought me and Larry together. In my first marriage, I wasn't loved. My husband did not love me, and I was not his first priority. And you may think, what? How could that possibly be? Well, it's true. He told me. So I wasn't just making it up in my head. It wasn't just my fear. He told me. So he said to me during our marriage, work's my first priority. I can't make time for you because work's more important. So I knew that the whole time we were married. So we ended up in marriage counseling. And I will never forget this one session. The counselor asked us, well, the counselor started by asking me, when you and David got married, when you agreed to get married, were you in love with him? And I said, yes, I was very much in love, and I was excited about our future, and I thought we were going to have this great marriage, and, you know, here we are, and, you know, there you have it. And so she says, okay, David, when you agreed to marry Melanie, were you in love? And he said, no, I don't really think I was. Ouch, right? Oh, my goodness. It was like, oh, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have gotten married. He went on to explain that when we got married, he was getting to the age where he kind of saw himself getting married and thought it was getting to be the right time. And here I come along, and we met, and he thought, oh, she'd be a great wife. Yeah, now is the time. I'm getting to the age. Let's get married. So he proposed. And we got married, and we were married for 10 years. And it was a very lonely, sad marriage because we started to drift apart right away. And so this notion of Larry not loving me, of me being second priority, of me not being loved and kind of being abandoned and left by the wayside was really deep with me. And the enemy knew that, so that's why he's telling me all that. Oh, so Larry's in Thailand, and I'm home, and we hadn't spoken in about a month. He'd been gone for about a month. And so I had this really heavy on my heart, and I texted him one morning, and I said, Larry, I need to talk to you. Can you call me? And so he texted me right back. He says, yes, I'll call you. So he called me, and it was the first time we talked in a month, and his voice was all exuberant. He's like, Melanie, hi, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
And love I'm you, like, babe, I love you.
I'm like, Larry, my voice was very somber. I'm like, Larry, we need to talk. Because here's what I'm feeling in my heart. I'm feeling like you're not going to love me. If we get married, here's what I said to him. If we get married, will you love me the way Christ loved the church? And will you make me a priority? There is a long pause. He says to me, who told you that? Where did you hear that from? I said, I don't know. It's just a thought. It's a thought I've been thinking since you've been gone, and I've been feeling it in my heart, and I'm starting to believe it. and I want to know. And he said, it is a commandment for me to love you the way Christ loved the church. He said, it is something I am commanded to do by Jesus. And in my own strength, I would not be able to do it. He says, you're right. If it was only left up to me, life would get in the way, things would get busy, and we would start to get annoyed with each other. And there you have it. We would start to grow apart. But Holy Spirit is here to help me. And he went on to explain to me that with Holy Spirit's help, he would be able to love me the way Christ loved the church. Because Holy Spirit always equips us and gives us the strength to do what he called us to do. So he wouldn't have given me that commandment if he wasn't going to follow it up with his strength and his power. So all of a sudden, I started to see it a little bit differently. I said, really? I said, well, I didn't see it that way. This is what I've been feeling in my heart. But Larry and I continued our conversation, and I realized that what he was saying was true. So now here we are. Now I can see I've got just a few more minutes, and I feel like the Lord really wants to release a couple of things. And Cammie, I'm going to pick up where you started with the prophetic act. So this is a prophetic act for us all to be here, singles, married, whatever our relationship status is, this is a prophetic act for us to be here. Because here's what happened a couple of years ago in 2016, before Larry and I came together. I think it was even at a time where Larry wasn't even here, he was in Thailand. So I came to church to the 9 o'clock service, and it was because I had plans for the rest of the day, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to come to 9 o'clock and then have the rest of the day. As I'm leaving, and I'm driving up the freeway, I'm heading up to Thousand Oaks, and I'm on the freeway, the Lord is like, no, go back, go back, go back, go back. And I'm like, oh, but Lord, I had all these plans, I was going to do all this stuff. And he's like, no, go back, go back, go back. So I got off on Wendy Drive, and I came back. And as I'm going down the hill, I get a text message on a Sunday morning, which I never get a text message on a Sunday, and I had the capability in my car to push a button, and it tells me what the text message says, so it reads it to me. So I push the button, and the text message says, thank you. And that's it. Thank you. I'm like, what? Somebody texted me and said thank you? But it really was, and I felt in my heart it was the Holy Spirit. So I thought, okay, Lord, you must have something really, really big for me. And so I get here for the 11 o'clock service, and Pastor Steve has this wonderful message, but in the middle of his message, he says that he wants to do something that Holy Spirit just released, and he said, if you're single, and if you want to be married, you have it in your heart to be married, I want you to stand up. And so I felt in my heart to stand up, and I didn't want to, but I felt like the Lord had me stand up. And he said, the Lord's doing a new thing in relationships. And then he had the married people, if they wanted a new season in their life, to stand up. And he said, I decree and declare that the Lord is going to do a new thing in our marriages, in our relationships. And that was what the Lord had for me that day. That's why he said, go back, go back, go back. So I just want to have us do that just prophetically. If you're single and you want to be married, or if you are married and you want a new season in your marriage, just stand up. And the Lord has that for you. He wants to release that to you. Just like he did that day, Cammie, I really felt prophetically like that was the message. So just stand up. And even if you don't stand up physically, you can do it in your heart or in your mind. And Lord, we just ask that you bless these marriages today, Lord. We ask that you bless these single people today, Lord, no matter what their situation, Lord, whether they're divorced or widowed or never been married yet, Lord, or married for a long time and just want a new season, Lord. We all want that. Lord, we ask that you reveal that to us. We ask that you release that to us right now, Lord, in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The story. Frog and the princess. This is a Jesus story, not Disney. The end of the story is right here. This is my princess.
Yes.
She was delivered to me on the front row in my seat when I got back from Thailand that time, like 15 times ago. But 10 years ago, I need to tell the story. Single people, listen to this. 10 years ago, I was single. 10 years ago, I didn't go back into the Crusades. I was weary, and I was tired, and I wanted company, because I was single. So I found a frog, more like a snake, but she was a frog.
It wasn't me.
Princess, this is God's will. Frog is your will. Your will. Iniquity, it's called iniquity. I want what I want it now. That's frog. So, I was captured by this frog. I'm just being serious. I was bewitched. Galatians says, who has bewitched you? This is a real bondage, folks. And if you're in this bondage, you cannot get free. But you got to go one place. That's to Jesus. Jesus is the only way. So I'm in my condo. I have money in the bank. But I am captured. I am just captured. So I'm weeping, I'm crying, Lord, I want the frog. Give me the frog. Jesus does not give us frogs. Listen to me. He gives us princesses. He gives us beauty.
Oh,
beauty for ashes. Not ashes
beauty for ashes,
for beauty.
That's right.
So listen to what Jesus said. Now, Jesus could have said something different, but he didn't. He said, I put your tears in my bottle. That's Psalm 56. I said, why? I was arrogant. Why? Listen, for those tears, I died. Oh. Then he says this, in my bottle are the tears of mothers and fathers who watched their children be martyred for my sake. And in my bottle are the tears of children who watched their mother and father be beheaded for my sake. I'm the God that cares. At this point, things change. I am weeping out of repentance because godly sorrow works repentance not to be. I am weak. I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. But I didn't get delivered. I got forgiven. 2 weeks later, I'm in the prayer session right there with Wes, my dear friend. And Wes says to me out of the blue, he said, you've become half-hearted toward Jesus. And I knew he was right. I said, I'm going to leave now. The next day I left for my children's house for 7 days. Listen, 7 days of repentance outside at night in my children's home. And I got so weeping at midnight, my son would cry out of his bed and went, Dad, you okay? I said, yes, yeah, son, I'm repenting. Okay, Dad, we're going to pray for you up here. Hey, praise God for Christian, you know. Wow, 7 days of repentance. And I get home, and the frog has run away by Jesus. Goodbye, frog. So then, I meet a lady in this church whose husband deserted she and her 3 daughters. Broken, deserted, rejected, crushed. And I marry her because the girls need a father. And I have 3 children already. And most of you that know me know this situation. This very sure, I mean, well, I got very little time. 4 years later, this lady goes to heaven through a car accident, and I am the only parent of three girls. Only a parent. Today, they're all in great shape. But I was the only parent. I'm alone, I'm widowed, and I'm the parent of three daughters. Only parent there is. Father's love. This marriage was not for Larry. It was for the three daughters. And then Jesus takes me to Thailand, where I spend 400 days in 6 years preaching Jesus, healing the sick, and ministering to the downhearted. And I'm praying Song of Solomon all the time. And a word comes to the general congregation in a big, big conference called Revive Asia 2016. Here's the word. If you're looking for a mate, stop looking. You will find her or him in the body of Christ where you worship. I pray 3 hours. Listen to me. I pray 3 hours specifically. Didn't tell who God had for me. I said what I want. Blonde hair, blue eyes, missionary heart, little and petite, and loves Jesus more than anybody else. I get home, and in that seat right there is my princess. Hallelujah!
Yay!
I want all of us to stand up. Put your heart, your heart in your hand. Put your hand on your heart, not your heart, your hand. And pray this prayer. This is a prayer of dedication. Lord Jesus, don't let me follow after frogs. I want your perfect will in my life. Give me the exact provision you have for me in my relationships on the earth. Send the right person, if that's what you want, in my life. I receive that person, whoever they are, in Jesus' name. Let her or him be my prince or princess. And I thank you for it, Lord Jesus, that you don't give us frogs. You give us princesses. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, my name is Sheen, and this is my husband, Dana. And it has been a very long time since I've spoken in front of a congregation. Can you hear me now?
Hold it there.
This is good. Okay, right here. I want the little thing on the head. Okay. I'm going to walk around a little bit because I got a little bit of energy and there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. And I really believe that as I'm speaking for 20 minutes, there's so much to unpack. And I only have 20 minutes. I really feel like right now the battle line has been drawn right here in our marriages. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Dana and I, of course, the marriage, and also the fact that we have worked together for like the last 16 years in a medical clinic. And you're probably going to ask me, like, how is that possible that you guys could work together? But I'm going to get to that in a minute. So I'm going to read this first, because when Pastor Steve told us what he wanted us to talk about, I started putting myself in a box. And when I put myself in a box, everything has to look really perfect and beautiful, because on the outside, everything has to be very perfect. And My entire walk has been like that for a very long time. And so when he released us and said, I want you to give your testimony about the first time you fell in love with Jesus, it's been a long time since I thought about that. And I have run every scenario in my head for the last month, like what to talk about, what to say to you. And every time I think about, okay, this is what I'm going to say, the Lord would say, nope, you're not talking about that. You're not going to write an agenda. See, I only have my scriptures. And I told Dana that I showed them to him before I started talking to you guys. I said, this is what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to stay with it. So my journey with the Lord started with Malibu Vineyard back in the day. And I started off in an Alpha class. And for a long time before I got to Malibu Vineyard, I was in the Jewish camp. So I had been immersed in the Judaic religion, you know, the Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. And my life was kind of like in that camp, and I had kind of turned my way from the Lord. And pardon if my voice cracks, it's been like that since the fire that we had recently in November. Anyway, I went to this Alpha class, and Bob Wolf at the time was one of the pastors. And he said, you know, after this Alpha class, I want you guys to think about a scripture in the Bible that really speaks to you. And you're going to talk about it. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk in front of anybody. I just want to be the person behind the scenes supporting everybody. So anyway, this is the verse that I have held true to. And it didn't obviously come back to me until that first love that Steve was talking about. And it's pretty much my entire life. So I'll read. So John 15:1, if you have your Bibles. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch because of the word I have spoken to you. Can you go down to the next verse? Wait a minute, where is it? See, I don't have my glasses on. See, that's why we work together. I'm going to get to that, so. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I have also remained in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So as I'm coming into this covenant with the Lord and I'm coming out of the Jewish camp, I'm realizing that Jesus is calling me back in. And I'm not going to go into my whole testimony because, again, I only have 20 minutes. But I will say that at that moment, I realized that Jesus is my super glue. He would have to only be because I can't do this without him. I could never be in a marriage for 20 years, right? We've been married 20 years? I don't know. I'm not even going to tell you my age because I can't believe I'm the age I am. But anyway, because I just feel like everything is just going by us so quickly. But anyway, Jesus is the glue. And so at this Alpha class, I'm standing there talking about what Jesus is to me. And that's when it was solidified in my heart that he is the glue. He is the only way. He is the truth. He is the light. And I can't do this without him. So then after that all happens, Bob Wolf, Mr. Wolf, says, you know what? I think we should have a baptismal. And I'm thinking, I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what God's going to do to me. And I'm like, sure, let's go get baptized. I'm not spirit-filled yet, and I'm really trying to figure out the Christianese out there. So we go after we're done with Alpha class and me reading my Bible verse. I get baptized, I believe it was on the heels of your birthday. Do you remember that? So he was born March 24th. I do have that down. Right? Yeah, okay. That's what happens when you marry too long. I'm going to get to that too. You might have to have me up here again. All right, anyway. So I decide I'm going to get baptized. And that was the first time I had felt the Holy Spirit. I had three important men in my life. One of them helped deliver me from cancer. I'll talk about that later, which was one of the Grant Owen, who was one of the pastors. And then it was Larry Singletary, and then it was Bob Wolf. And I was in the pool, and I remember hearing the Lord say to me and remembering these scriptures, "Remain in me as I have also remained in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So as I'm hearing that, I hear him say, I feel myself go down into the water. And I come up out of the water, and I hear him saying, "Now open your eyes." And in the Bible, I'm not familiar with the verse where it comes from, but I remember he said, "The scales have fallen from your eyes, and now you're going to see me. And I'm gluing you to him." And that was really significant, because I've been married to him.
It's 20 years next week.
Yeah. But it was like being married to your boyfriend. But then along the line, the Lord starts, "Go to the next verse, because we're probably gonna end up staying here in John. Can you go to the next one after 6? It's the one where he cuts your branches off. Is that one in there? Maybe? Okay, well, I'm just gonna do it from my head because you guys know it. Is it? "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch." Oh, there it is. Okay. So now I'm going to go ahead now, many years later now. Dana and I are working in our clinic. We have opened this. We've been blessed phenomenally with a successful marriage and a successful business. And now we start hitting the rough parts. And now my church has imploded. I am no longer in a church. Our church closed. And I've lost literally almost everything. And I'm thinking, and I'm pregnant, and I'm going to be pregnant soon. So it's like, wow. Okay, so this one's the hard one for me. "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned." The part that is that always was instilled in my mind was that if I don't stay with the Lord, there's something that's going to happen. I'm going to fall away. Even while I'm going through this turmoil, the office that we work in currently and still have owned for a long, very long time was built by our church, and it has been a sanctuary in our ministry for all these years, where people from all over come in, and they never know why. They feel the way they do, but they know that something amazing is happening, whether they know that I'm a believer in the Lord or not. But all the while this is happening to me, and, we start running into, a little bit of bumps along the way, because we're working in a marriage together, and sometimes there's strife. Sometimes we don't always see eye to eye. You start hearing those voices, You start hearing the ones, "Well, maybe I shouldn't be, working here in this office. Maybe I shouldn't be running everything. Maybe I shouldn't, maybe I need to do my own thing. Maybe I need to be in another place." And that is where the control comes from. The Lord is always in control, right?
Yes.
Well, with me, my personality, I like to control everything. I like to be in control of every situation, because that's how I protect myself. And what I realized in this office and being married to Dana, having a baby, going through the cutting of the branches off your body, I realized that I have had a lot of fear about not being in control. And I am now making a petition and declaration to this congregation that I don't want to be a part of that branch, that fear branch that has kept me down for so long. Because it has attacked my marriage. It has taken me where I can't talk. it's kind of the bondage that someone had talked about. The bondage where you put yourself in this bondage and you know that you're not called and you know you're not supposed to be in this bondage, but you're like, "How did I get there?" So anyway, with that, I think I've lost my track of thought because I'm having...
Seven minutes.
No, I don't. Okay. Anyway, so as this pruning is going on with me, I realize now that you know, I have to start turning to the Lord. I have to start getting on my knees, and I have to start talking to him. Now, most of the time, I do speak to the Lord. It's all the time. I speak to him all the time when I'm in the car. There's never a moment where I'm not in prayer, and there's not a moment where I'm not speaking to him in tongues and is my spiritual language. But what the Lord has been showing me in this past, especially in the last couple years, he's saying, you have to let go, and you have to let me be in control. And that is very hard for me, because I already know how to make things happen. I know how to make things work. I know how to run things. I know how to make it all happen and make it look beautiful so everybody is lifted up. But what he's saying now is that he's saying, you know what? You have to let go and watch me do what I'm going to do. You have to remember back to the vine that I showed you when you were at Alpha Class in Malibu Vineyard, when you first became baptized and spirit-filled and the scales fell from your eye. He's like, you have to remember that moment. And it's a long time since I've been there. I mean, we're talking probably 20 years now. Okay, yeah. So as you're seeing me talk here, no, I do not have it all together, and I don't want to make it look pretty, and I don't want to appear anymore as if, you know, we all have our fears. I don't want to appear like it's all good, because there's certain parts of my journey that have not been all good, and then there's been amazing points in my journey that have been all good. So there was a song that. When I found out that I was going to be talking, because you know you can interject if you want. There's a song that, let me find it. It says the Lord will not. The song is the Lord will not relent. He's going to continue to come after us, even. Yeah, is it? No, it's. I can't. No, let's see. Hold on, Dana. It's right there, but can you find the bigger version of it? Because I don't have my glasses. But because I don't have a lot of time. No, it's in here. No, it's in here. Can you just look at my book? No, look at it. Okay. One of the things that people always ask about Dana and I is, how do you guys work together in closely? We see each other every day. We're with each other 24/7. Well, we were given this amazing opportunity to do that. And how we do it is because of the vine. How we do it is because of what was written on my heart back in the day when I was baptized and gave myself to the Lord.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it, because I can't. But that's it. I have a bigger version of it.
All right, it says, you won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent. Until you have it all, my heart is yours. It says that two more times. I'll set you up as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arms. For there is love that is strong as death, jealously demanding as the grave. And many waters cannot quench this love. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arms. For there.
Thank you. Now maybe I can sing it now, just that little verse.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you want to? No? Okay. I got the floor. I'm so excited. I get to actually talk for a moment. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. So what I felt the Lord was, you know, speaking to me, you know, he was talking to me a little bit in Hebrew, and he was also bringing me back to some of that Judaica that I was remembering, which I pushed away a lot. And I think it's time now for the marriages to stand up, stand forward, draw your battle line and stand with each other and lift your beloveds up no matter what's going on, even if you don't even want to talk to them right now, and even if you don't feel like you're in love with them, it's a feeling. It's not what God's called you to be in your marriage. He's put us together. He's knitted us together, just like it says on the vine. Even if we're going through really hard stuff, medically, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It doesn't matter. And so even as we have journeyed together in this practice and in our marriage, it truly is a knitting of those fibers. And God is calling me back to saying, I am going to take out all the things that you have spoken over yourself, over your marriage, all the lies that you've said about yourself that are not true. And he says now that this is the battle line. This is where I'm drawing it. And you're going to step over that line and you're going to take a new declaration with me. And you're going to stand here and you're going to proclaim my words, my life over your marriage. And so that's where that verse comes in. It says that I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arms. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. And many waters cannot quench the love. I will not relent until I have it all. And that is what the Lord says. So.
So the one thing I was, I get 83 seconds, so I'll take it. It's fine. I just felt what the Lord was talking to me about this morning. He gave us the law so he could convict us of sin. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways he gave us marriage to convict us of the fact of what a horrible bride we are. Okay? And what we, without the Spirit, what you were talking about, what a poor bride we are to him without his guidance. And every day in marriage, you know, the good and the bad, I think, what I always hear is this contention that comes not just against Christian marriage, but marriage in general, and just contention on our hearts and who it is that we're called to be, whether we're single or divorced or widowed or still married, and that we have to not see that contention as something that is a hindrance to us, but something that is growing us and something that's teaching us to be the bride he's called us to be. Because we have our marriages every day to show us the bride that we're not being. And it's so easy for married people to look at other married people because it's like Instagram, okay? And everyone else seems to have a good marriage, and so you find out they're getting divorced, and you're like, what? And like, you have no discernment whatsoever that people are able to put on a really good face a lot. And that there's always contention, there's always challenges, and honestly, some people just get lucky with who they're with. they just get along really well, but that's separate from what God has called us to be. Whatever our relationship is, we're called to grow in that relationship, and that's where this marriage comes in. It's a training ground to show us how it is we're not the bride we're called to be, and how we can step into being the bride we're called to be. I'd like everyone to do is maybe just stand up, because we're going to take a break anyway. And Lord, we ask for your Spirit to continue this day, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the contention. I thank you for the challenges that you've given us, Lord. And I just want to speak against, in Jesus' name, anyone that feels condemned, anyone that feels like there's things they need to do. We're not here for a self-help seminar. We're here for a Holy Spirit seminar. We're here for a Jesus seminar. That there's no five steps here today other than Jesus and Holy Spirit and the Father, those three steps. And Lord, we just thank you, and we just shed ourselves of the past. We shed ourselves of guilt. We shed ourselves of regret. We shed ourselves of not living up to our own expectations. And as we move on to the rest of the day, Lord, I just pray that we would do so in freedom. Lord, freedom in what you've called us to be, and freedom just to hear you and to be joyful and to feel released to be who we are in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanted to say one more thing. There was another verse that I wanted to pray over you guys, but it's Joshua 1. It's when Moshe, in Hebrew, Moses, he gave Joshua the authority to be able to go into lands and to be who they are and to not falter. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, Joshua 1, over every marriage, every single person. I don't even want to say you're single, because you are married, in the name of Jesus. And we say, yes, your feet are shod with the gospel of peace, that you are plenty, that you are filled up, that you are who you are and you are who I say you are, in the name of Jesus. And Lord has your heart.